And the great apostle was writing to this church at Colossae. He was always very careful to try to not unsettle the people and to encourage them, but at the same time, to remind them that what they were involved in was spiritual warfare, and that there would be great struggles for them as they tried to remain faithful to the Lord. And in the earlier part of this epistle, he has some things to say to them regarding order and steadfastness. And he hints there at the end of chapter 1 that they're not depending on themselves. He says there in verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, the spreading out of the gospel, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then in the last verse of that chapter, he says there, whereunto I also labour, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. That was not Paul on an ego trip, but rather he was showing the people here that the Lord was able to take a weak man like him with his own difficulties, his own personal problems, and to work through him mightily. So as he sought to encourage his church to be steadfast and to be orderly, he also laid out before them a pattern that they would do best if they stuck to, irrespective of other opportunities that come their way. For when he's writing to them there in verse 7, he talks about being rooted and built up in him. He also speaks to them about the security they have. He says, you're rooted. And the word rooted there is a word that refers to an established tree, that which has shot its roots deep down into the ground and is able to, in that way, attain all of the nourishment that it would need, not just to stand still, but to grow and to progress and to be fruitful. He shows them as well that there is that need personally to try and grow, an effort to be made in seeking to do what we can on our part, and to seek to develop the graces that God has given to us. You could take time and read 2 Peter there, where we are to add to our faith. And certainly Paul hinted at some of those things which we are to add. And the word where it says to add over there actually means supply generously. So there's great potential for these believers at Colossae. And Christian, there is potential for every believer here to be what God wants all of us to be. But these are challenging times. Well, they were challenging when Paul was around. And I want to give the title this morning to the message, Going On Steadily in Challenging Times. Going On Steadily in Challenging Times. I want to say, first of all, that there is an order for you and me to go on. There is the need for biblical truth. Now, Paul in verse 7 here, he writes to them about being established in the faith. When you and I are saved, we are saved eternally, but we have responsibility. And we can either determine that we will be content to be saved and not really go on very much, or we can say to the Lord, and he will help us, folks, if we do this. We can say to the Lord, I want to be all that I can be. The Lord helping me, and I want to do it for his glory. And that means responsibility. Remember when Paul was writing to the church at Philippi? He said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And the word work out referring to the digging ore out of a mine. Good to know what's there. If you have a mine with silver or gold in it in your back garden and you don't want it, let me know. Good to know what's there. But you know, folks, it's not much use when it's in the ground. You need to dig it out And that's what he was saying there in, to the Philippian church. You're to work out or dig out and be the best that you can be for the Lord. He says here to them in this verse 7 as well, to be established in the faith. And that brings us really to the heart of our point. It is referring here to the whole body of doctrinal truth, to the word of God. And as far as we are concerned in this day, from Genesis to its revelation, and to be strengthened in the inner man, and to be able to honestly say, I'm going on steadily in spite of challenging times in which we live, we must be feeding upon the word, because that is the only way of strengthening. I can beat the air, and that might impress someone, but it doesn't really mean anything. There's nothing of substance to it or reality to it. And as I said, the youngest Christian and the Christian who may feel the weakest has potential for the Lord. And that's what we want to be looking for. And if we want to find that, we'll want to be going on steadily with the Lord. To be strengthened today in the inner man, established in the faith, there has to be that feeding on the word. The word established there in verse 7 is in passive voice, and it refers to God establishing through his word. Do you remember just a few minutes ago we mentioned about working out our own salvation and determining to be the best that we can be? Well, here's what he does. He works through the word and establishes you and I through the word. And in doing that, he enables us to see error. Days of drift in 2021. Days of frightening confusion. Days when even people with a very, very solid background are confused over things that they shouldn't be confused about. Over there in the book of Hebrews, I'm going to read chapter 4. It says there in chapter 4 in Hebrews, and verse 12. It says, for the word of God is quick. Just want to explain just a few wee things as we go through this verse. The word of God is quick. The word quick there meaning the perpetual continuance of vigor. This is not a book that will run out of strength or run out of ability. The word of God is quick, and it is powerful or effectual. Therefore, again, it's like no other book. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The reference there being to that which is destructive. The sword that was feared most of all was the two-edged sword. And whenever we're referring here to the word of God as being sharper than a two-edged sword, it certainly can be destructive when it comes to errors and heresy and those things which can confuse God's people, remembering that that's the situation the Colossian church were in at that time. And as a discerner, and the word discerner is an interesting word, it means judge. The word of God is a judge of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So when you take that verse 12 and you read it all very carefully, what a benefit it is to have the Bible. If there's something that we're confused about, or we're worried about error, or there's something that is perhaps edging closer, just as Gnosticism here was knocking at the door in Colossians, maybe it had affected some of them for all I know, but it's the word of God is the answer. And more this is going to be the case. As the boys and girls grow up, and the young people, you're going to have to come back to the word in order to be shown by God the Holy Spirit through his word. And if that does not happen, then the future is not very bright as far as going on steadily is concerned. The word of God exposes error, but it helps us in defending the truth. Over in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 29, the word of God is referred to there as being like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. The word is a great comfort. And when you and I are sorrowful or we're really discouraged, the word of God comforts us as little as can. And even the simple reading of a few verses of a psalm there can be of untold good to us. But the word of God is like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. And whenever you wish to follow on after the Lord, loving his truth, then you have to defend his truth. And your weapon is the word. Because in Jeremiah 23 it says, the word of God, thy word is like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. You get the picture there of someone trying to smash a rock with a hammer. You need to hit it hard. And Christian, take encouragement today as you want to go on with the Lord that you have the word. You have the word to defend you, to make a way for you, to expose error as well, but to help regarding devotion. It can help us regarding devotion in our personal lives. Over there in John's Gospel, chapter 17, and the verse 17, just a few words, it says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You and I need more than a bit of resolve. It's the word of God that breaks us off from the unhelpful habits. It's the word that God helps me if I'm going to be angry, and I shouldn't be, or going to be thinking in a way and go down a thought line that I shouldn't be going down. It's the word of God that helps me. Sanctify them through thy word. That's why we love to see people come to the meetings, and I need to be there too. And listening to the word of God and reading the word of God. And I want to say finally here under this point, we're looking here at the need of biblical truth, how it is indispensable. And it is that which exposes error, which uses our defense, that which helps us with devotion. But when you have the word of God, then you cannot limit what God can do through you. That's if we look just back in John chapter 15 and verse 3. Well, he says here, the Lord Jesus says in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth fruit. I think I've mentioned before, when looking at the early part of this chapter, where it says, he taketh away, it means lift up. And if you go around your gooseberry bush or whatever it is, and there's a great big branch, but it's hanging down in the dirt, you don't want it in the dirt. You lift it up a bit, prop it up. And the Lord comes along, and he lifts it up. And then he says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. How do we deal with the temptations and the barriers and all that would prevent us from going on steadily with the Lord? How do we do it? It's through the word of God. And as I said to you before, we don't know where any of our young people are going, where life is going to take them, or where their chosen career will take them, or where the Lord will lead them. But wherever you go, remember this is the answer. It is the word of God. And if you want to be all that you can be for him, there's no substitute for it. And Paul, when he's writing to that church at Colossae, he is very careful to assure them that they need to be established in the faith. There is the need of biblical truth. But I want you to notice, secondly here, there is the nature of spirit-filled witness. You see what he says in the verse there? Abounding therein. Now, again, and it's just a little bit technical there, the word abounding is a word which suggests the picture here behind the word is of a great swollen river. For some poor people in Germany and other places this past wee while, the floods have been such that all the rivers have been swollen and many of them burst their banks. And more than that, a lot of people lost their lives. But you know what a swollen river looks like. And it is something that is absolutely full to the brim. Well, that's what it's referring to. Whatever it says here, abounding therein. Maybe it'd be helpful to look in John again, in chapter 7, please. John chapter 7. I'll just read three verses. Verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Something, the thought here, and the thought of the word abounding, is something that is continually growing deeper and deeper and deeper. Now, many commentators believe that the apostle here had in mind Ezekiel chapter 47, where it talks there, there's a reference there to the river coming from the temple of God and the waters to swim in. It's a great chapter about the work of the Spirit of God, if you want to turn to it. But certainly, some of them believe that it signifies the happiness and prosperity of the Jews after the return from Babylon. But the verses are very encouraging for you and I to read when we think of the nature of Spirit-filled witness. It is abounding in him. I may have told you before that there was one man, there was others, but there was one man in particular when I was hadn't gone into Bible college yet. And I, in the course of my work, I looked forward to calling at his house. And I always hoped that he would be there. He worked as a delivery man. But I hoped that he would be there, because just talking to him for 5 or 10 minutes always encouraged me for the rest of the day. He's just an ordinary fella. But you see the word abounding here? We're being overflowing, being full of the Holy Spirit. Now, he wasn't a holier-than-thou type person, but he's a genuine man. And there's a genuine fullness about him that was, it affected me, it helped me greatly when I was not very long saved. Just talking to him, and many times, and eventually he went into full-time service as well. But at that time he wasn't. But he certainly was a Christian that was full, knew what it was to be full of the Holy Spirit. Every Christian is indwelt. We are told and commanded to be full. So we have something to do. It ties in with the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit. They both work very, very closely together. And many see those waters that we read of in Ezekiel chapter 47 there as indicative of the graces of the Spirit. And the Lord is able to give us waters to the ankles and to the knees, but he's able to give us waters to swim in. And young person and older people too, while we don't seek great things for ourselves, as far as our work and witness for the Lord is concerned regarding faithfulness, let's aim high. Aim high for him. Because I'm looking here at the nature of a Spirit-filled witness. There will be obedience. That's one thing that will be there. Ezekiel chapter 36. Just want to read there. Verse 25. Could I read verse 20? It says, "And then they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name." That was not a good testimony. I've mentioned, I think, before that the word profane is derived from a word meaning outside the temple. That which is not holy. But if you look on down, the Lord says, "I will be sanctified in you before their eyes." That's verse 23. But if you look at verse 25, please. "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you." Verse 27. "And I will put my Spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." And brethren and sisters, when we do that, and when we keep them, people, the world out there will notice, because we're living obediently. That's what I want to do. It is a battle sometimes, but we want to live obediently. There's also the thought, when you think of the reading there in Ezekiel 47, where the rivers to swim, waters to swim in, there's a thought of refreshment and fruitfulness And it's the word of God and the Spirit that causes this. True fruitfulness, true refreshment, not a got up performance, some sort of emotional high for an hour and then it's all gone. There's a real substantial thing that can be with you. Yes, when you're in among us, where it's probably, when you're in among your friends and you're in God's house, probably easiest. But when you're out there in your place of employment and you're maybe in situations where it's very different from here, then it will sustain you then. Sustain you then. If I read Deuteronomy, you don't worry about turning to it. I know of quite a few references here today. It says in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 2, "My doctrine and my word shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass." And brethren and sisters, who amongst us here this morning doesn't want refreshment of heart? And that feeling of being refreshed in the Lord, new zeal, great enthusiasm, brotherly love, burden for souls. The Lord will give us the fruitfulness according to his will. So then when there is this spirit-filled witness, there will be obedience, there will be this refreshment and fruitfulness, but there's also the thought of comfort and joy. I think we mentioned earlier that the word of God can be a great comfort, and we continually need that. And there are times, as we all know, there's times in our lives when we need great comfort, but we need it every day. And it's to be found in the word, folks. Over there in Jeremiah chapter 15, and it's verse 16, it says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." That is an expression that shows how much they meant to him. "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called upon thy name, called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." The joy and rejoicing of my heart. Can I honestly say every day that the word of God is the joy and rejoicing of my heart? Well, we all can aim for that and trust that the Lord will help us to be at that point where our witness is a spirit-filled. When there's obedience, refreshment of soul, there is a thought of comfort and joy. But then there's the thought of Christ being the head of his church, about us finding all graces and all need, all assistance in him. This is a final reference and a beautiful picture in the Song of Solomon on chapter 4. There you might turn to it. We'll leave it after this. Or shortly after this, I should say. We'll leave this point after this. There's the reference there at the end of chapter 4 from verse 12 on to the church as a garden. A garden that is walled and watered and wealthy because of that which is in it. But it's waiting. See what the wee prayer at the end in verse 16 says, "Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, and blow upon my garden that the spices thereof may flow out." That is, you're going to be witnessing. The branches are going over the wall. Others are going to see and be affected. It says, "Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits." Good to know the Lord's amongst us. Whether it's here in Achillea in church or up in the house, wherever it is, good to know that the Lord is with us. So this morning, as we look at going on steadily, what Paul had to say regarding going on steadily in challenging times, and these are challenging times. We still have most of our freedoms, but let's not fall asleep and think that we can take them for granted, because we can't. Our brethren and sisters in all parts of the world are really finding it very tough at the moment. Some of them can't open the Bible in public. It's that bad. And who knows what could happen. Verse 7 says, "Rooted and built up in him," that's Colossians chapter 2, "established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein." We've already mentioned to you there's the need of spiritual truth. It's indispensable if you're going to be built up in him, established in the faith. But it also, there is here the thought of being spirit-filled. It says, abounding therein. But finally, there is a note of gratitude. For it says, abounding therein with thanksgiving. If you read the writings of the Apostle Paul, in Philippians and to Colossians, both chapter 4 in both books, you will see there that he exhorted to the men and women that they would have a thankful spirit. And that is an important part of, it's a sign of Christian maturity, but it's an important part of our Christian life. You are to be grounded and growing as Christians, but we are to be thankful. And thanking the Lord for what he's already done. Did you ever thank the Lord for his will? I have to confess that so many times I'm busy asking what I want. I need to thank him for his will. Because ultimately, all that we do is to be for his glory. And one day it won't matter what I wanted. But it's his glory that counts ultimately. That's not being harsh or saying that you shouldn't ask for things. But let's not forget to thank him. Thank him for all that he has provided. Someone wrote this, again it wasn't me, I'm just copying what they said. They said, praise completes the circle in which the blessings that flow to us from God return to him in the form of thanks and adoration. I'll read it again. Praise completes the circle in which the blessings that flow to us from God returns to him in the form of thanks and adoration. And I trust that the Lord will help all of us in these days. Yes, to be thankful people, but to be going on steadily. When we're going on steadily, we encourage other believers. There's no question. When we're going on steadily, we catch the attention of the unsaved. What about our loved ones? What about time ebbing out for some of them, perhaps? They need to see it in me. They need to see it in you. And they need to see us going on steadily with the Lord. I trust the Lord will take you a few thoughts this morning and use them for his glory and bless them to the hearts of all who have gathered in this morning.